Within the genres of horror and science fiction, stories, characters, arcs, and narratives are often connected by a tenuous cord. Parallels in theme, inspiration, influence. Imagine a long hallway of locked doors representing the two genres. The only way out is to open a door and
Johnny has the keys!
Johnny has the keys. The podcast of horror and sci-fi that shapes our lives. With your host, David Horton and Tim Smith, lifelong friends introduced and bound by their love of the genres. And now, your host,
Tim and David!
Hey, hello out there, all in listening land. How are you guys? This is David and...
And this is Tim.
And we're back with you, and we're so glad to be here. This is Johnny Has the Keys podcast, which is where we talk about everything horror, everything science fiction, what influenced it, what it influences now, and where it came from, and all aspects of it. And we've got a cool one today, Tim. What are we going to be talking about?
Well, we're talking about doing more of a freeform association, word association kind of thing with just a few topics today instead of picking an actual movie that we're, you know, somewhat obsessed with. Just some things that have been on our mind maybe within the genre or, you know, whether or not it's topical or not, it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We just thought we would surprise each other maybe with a subject and see what happens.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, as we were talking, there's so much going on now, especially in the genre realm. There's so many movies, television series, books are out, all of this. And naturally, with our little modest podcast, we can't cover them all. So maybe we just, you know, rapid fire some and talk about it and give everybody our thoughts on it. I think that's a
absolutely
cool idea.
Yeah. Or we just be selfish and talk about what we want to.
That's right. So what has interested you? What's caught your eye? What's a something that actually spurred you wanting to do a freeform kind of thing?
Well, actually, and the reason I'm glad we're doing this freeform-wise is you just gave me an idea in your last little spiel. It is somewhat overwhelming these days with the variety and selection of genre we have at our fingertips. I'm kind of overwhelmed at times when I click on Netflix. I don't know what to watch.
Wow. I mean, see, that's good.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I gravitate to horror naturally, and predominantly I gravitate to zombie movies, most of which are not good. But like I watched one day before yesterday that was pretty damn good. And it was a low budget indie out of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
That was based on a short. It's called Cargo, for anyone that hasn't seen it. It wasn't one of my topics. I'll just briefly comment on it because it's one of those things that just came up in my Netflix, you know, suggestions.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be good. And I'm glad because, you know, most of them don't. So.
Well, true. I saw the trailer, but I haven't seen it yet. But if you recommend it, then I'll probably have to jump on it, of course. Of course, you've also recommended Babadook, and I've never watched it. I have it on my to-watch and just never have. And you say it's great. So,
It is good, but I've seen it twice. And on second viewing, sometimes I want to kill the kid that's in it, though. He's pretty obnoxious. I mean, you kind of relate with that mother. It's like, I want to kill you if you don't shut up. Quit screaming. But no, The Babadook is a good movie.
Cargo's take was on, I got the impression it was about like after you've been zombified or something or something like that. Isn't it kind of a funky twist on the whole genre?
It is. I mean, just slightly. I mean, not. It's still a basic George Romero type zombie, but you've got like 48 hours after you've been bitten before you'll turn. Mm-hmm. And I can spoil it a bit, I guess, by telling you the short. The short is a guy waking up in the passenger seat of an automobile that has crashed. And mm-hmm. his baby is in the back seat in a baby seat. And his wife is already a zombie. And she is in the driver's seat with a seatbelt on. And she has already bit him. Mm. That's kind of how he wakes up. So he gets out of the car, grabs the baby and leaves, and now he's got. And according the other part about the 48 hours that came in the length, the full length movie, the short, he basically has, you know, only so much time to get his baby to someone that can take care of it before he turns. So that's
Oh,
basically what the
okay.
short
So,
is.
cool. Well, it sounds like a cool premise.
Yeah, and I can't think of the guy's name that's in the full length movie. He's the guy that was in The Hobbit, and he was in Fargo, the series.
Oh, he also is in Sherlock?
Yes, I
Yeah.
cannot think of his name.
I can't either right now.
Anyway, he's great. Actually, he's great in everything I've seen him in.
Yes. I
It's too
would
bad I
totally
don't
agree.
know his name.
To me, he's the best at doing those little half gestures, those little micro expressions of, yes, I agree with you. What? You know, kind of thing. The where he says one thing, but his face totally says something else, whether he's angry or confused or thrown off. He does it a lot in Sherlock, which is great.
His name is Martin Freeman. That was
Martin
killing me.
Freeman.
Yeah.
I'm glad you looked that up. I think from my point of view, one of the ones that I'm excited about that to mention is Altered Carbon,
Oh,
which is
cool.
a series on Netflix, a Netflix original series, and I get the impression they probably spent between 6 and 8 million an episode on this thing. It's tremendously well done. Cool story, kind of a noir 40s feel to it, very Blade Runner-y. It's kind of like, I think a lot of people compare it to Blade Runner, just because of the neon saturation of colors, the fact that there are flying cars, you know, this view of the future, sort of thing. But the story's really good and compelling in it. But, you know, key related wise, it's definitely taken from the feeling of Blade Runner. It's definitely taken from the whole Matrix, not Savior Neo, but more fish out of water story, where you're thrust into this world that you don't really know about and you're having to adapt really quickly to it, kind of thing. That's kind of what the hero has to do. But, and without spoiling anything, the real cool aspect of it that I liked was basically all of your consciousness can be downloaded into this new altered carbon form, a device, so to speak, and they call it a stack. And it actually goes in the back of your neck and is inserted as one of your vertebrae. So the body you're wearing now just becomes a skin. So it could be anybody. And as long as you don't hurt your stack and have enough money, you can become another person later on. You can get a different sleeve. So it also has a cool paranoia factor to it. It gets into a lot of William Gibson kind of cyberpunky stuff. It's a cool series. I highly recommend it.
I've not seen it. I've heard great things about it, but I all of a sudden have a key that is gonna kind of sound weird. It
No way.
sounds a little bit like Hellraiser.
How do you
Because
mean?
remember how they could slip into a skin? Remember the skinless guy needed a skin? I don't know. That's just what popped into my head when you were saying they could become somebody else by putting on their skin. So.
I think there's been a really unique thing in at least a lot of science fiction that I'm watching the past year on consciousness and where consciousness goes and what makes us conscious. I think it's because of the whole rapid growing AI thing in general. You know, from talking to Alexa or talking to OK Google or whatever, and them responding in very human-like terms, even though we know that it's a synthetic program kind of thing, has led us to shows like Altered Carbon and Westworld and Humans and all these other sci-fi stories that are basically about what is life? If we create this robot and give it total control and sentience, is it alive? Does it deserve the same rights we have? That sort of thing. And I've heard there's a new game out in all the platforms, so PlayStation, Xbox, everything else, that is trying to remember the name now. I think it's called Detroit. But it's taken from the point of view of a synthetic human, a robot maid who's been abused by her owner, kind of thing, and how she escapes and starts to lead this robot rebellion, kind of thing. So, and it's a game. You get to play that character in the game. So I'll probably have to get that just to soothe my sci-fi chops.
It is interesting how all that stuff is coming about as far as the AI and stuff. I actually programmed my Google to call me Big Daddy, and it does.
And it does. Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting that kind of advancement, and, you know, according to Elon Musk and a lot of the other people, that's where we're going to be in 5 years. We're going to move extremely rapidly toward, you know, they're right now saying, how do we get legislation to stop bots? Because companies are sending out these bots who can have an entire chat conversation with you, you know, a text conversation, but it's not real. It's not a person. But it responds to how you answer.
So where are the sex robots?
Yeah, well, that industry, they say, is doing pretty well, too. I actually did see a thing online because there is this guy, this company, I guess it's a European company, and they've always made dolls. You know, sex dolls or whatever, but these are extraordinarily lifelike, silicon, all of that kind of thing. But now they're giving them like an OK Google kind of digital assistant, so they're able to talk. So that would just be weird to me. You know,
I just don't even want to go there. I mean, it might, well, I'm just not even going to go there. Never mind.
So a world of possibilities.
Dennis bought three more yesterday.
Okay.
We have like four Google Minis, and he bought three more yesterday at Costco. Had three for $85 or something.
And so your whole house is now integrated. And
yeah.
Talking
yeah, and
to
it's
itself.
Hooked to my music, so I can walk into a room and have music come on. That's basically what I use it for.
Well, right now, but soon, you'll see. It'll be cooking your meals for you and petting the dogs. It'll be doing everything. Yeah. You know?
If it could get it to quit barking, I would be fine.
Well, yeah, that's just reminding me. I just said hello, Dave, and it reminded me on Turner Classic Movie a couple of days ago, they had all of the great science fiction movies were on like one morning. It was like they had Forbidden Planet, 2001, 2010. It was great. I started to call you up and go, okay, you said you've never seen Forbidden Planet. You have to watch it right now.
I would have because it's not playing on anything. I keep looking for it. I have an app. I can't remember the name of it, but it tells you like you can just put a movie in and it tells you where you can stream it or buy it or rent it. And every time I look for Forbidden Planet, it's not on anything.
Yeah, this was on Turner Classic Movies. So I don't know if they're going to do it again this month or whatever. Mm-hmm. But maybe look there and see if you can see it. Because it is, I watched like the first hour again just because it is so well done. Mm-hmm. And so many things. Talk about keys. You'll be just binging on keys from the very first minute of that movie. So many things are taken from that as inspiration.
Welcome to Altair Hoar, gentlemen.
That's excellent. Some sci-fi. Anything happening in horror world?
Before we leave the sci-fi element of this podcast, I can't go much further without mentioning that Hall and Allison died recently.
Yes.
Which really kind of bummed me out more than I thought it would.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us did. It was. Yeah, he was definitely such an influence on so many writers and so many television shows and so many movies. Just amazingly so.
Right.
And what a voice. Not just his own, you know, his fiction, but his, you know, you're the one that actually, I think, originally turned me on to like his reviews and his movie reviews and his book reviews and his essays.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so brilliant. What a voice that he had.
Yeah, I think I only read a few of his short stories before I dived deeply into his nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just loved his, as you said, his voice. He, you know, always seemed to be shouting and ranting, and I agreed with him, which made it even more powerful. And that, you know, I'm talking about the Harlan Ellison horn book, or the Harlan Ellison's Watching is another one, where he is reviewing movies or talking about pop culture, and he is usually just spot on. And you talk about somebody Agreed. With a vocabulary, God almighty.
Yeah, and he was always that angry man. He was always that angry man yelling at the world kind of feel to him. But so right on with what he was saying, you know.
Well, and I find it kind of odd that there were a couple of instances where he was plagiarized or ripped off. Namely, the one that comes to mind is Terminator, which was ripped from a Soldier, which was a Soldier. Short story that was made into an Outer Limits episode.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. I know it's a short story, but I think it was made into an Outer Limits episode. And it was basically the premise for the first Terminator movie. And he was going around for years saying, you guys ripped me off. And I think he finally got compensation for it.
Yeah, didn't they finally, they actually, it's now in the credits, I think. It says, from a story, or inspired by a story by Harlan Ellison, something like that.
It may be. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I remember my first exposure to Ellison, I think, in visual form, because I think I had read Repent, Harlequin, said the TikTok Man. I think I read that first.
I had to read that in high school.
Yeah.
It was in like a sci-fi class in high school.
I read that, and then I think I remember seeing Demon with a Glass Hand, which was another, was that Twilight Zone or Outer Limits? I think it was Outer Limits.
I think it's Outer Limits.
Such a cool story. And again, one of the things that I think he did really well was Harlan, I don't think, got enough respect for the twists that he would do and the unique kind of plot things that would happen in his stories. But, you know, Demon with a Glass Hand has a great story to it. Soldier had a great story to it. So many of his short stories were great.
Boy and His Dog.
Boy and His Dog, yeah.
Yeah. He did a story called The Whimper of Whipped Dogs that was based on a true story about a woman that was murdered in New York, and everybody witnessed it from their windows and no one did anything. Do you remember that?
No, but I remember that must have come after, because I remember he was mugged at one point.
Well, and he was in a street gang at one point too, or something.
I'm vaguely remembering this. I may have to look it up and I may be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure. I remember seeing the interview where he was still recovering, because what had happened was ended up with like a broken leg or a shattered kneecap, something. He ended up having to be on physical therapy and crutches and all this for several months. And they, you know, in typical Harlan fashion, the interviewer was saying, so what would you say to this thug that attacked you if they ever caught him? And he goes, well, I wouldn't really say anything to him. I would talk to the authorities and say, I need you to leave me alone in a room with him for 15 minutes and give me a crowbar. And the interviewer kind of, you know, paused and everything else. And he goes, yeah, because, and then he went into this extreme, you know, Ellison, he went into this whole thing about how I would shatter his kneecaps and then break them backwards. So pieces of bone go into the knee. So he'll walk with a limp for the rest of his godforsaken life and blah, blah, blah. It was like, okay, Harlan. Yeah, good. Okay, go.
Right. And that's funny because he's got a great imagination, but physically he was kind of tiny.
He was,
yeah,
you know, short man syndrome or whatever, you know, yeah, he was wee. But like, you know, I just read recently, well, a couple of years ago I read it, but it was a behind the scenes thing of the original Star Trek, and found out that all while he was writing City on the Edge of Forever, which some people think is the best Star Trek episode ever.
It's a good one. I mean, it's a love story.
He actually stayed there on the Desilu lot in one of the Star Trek offices for like a few months. So he was able to see most of that season being filmed and hung out on the set, got to meet everybody, all that while he was writing that. And that's, I think, part of why it became such an issue when the original screenplay was rewritten. And, you know, he went to war with Roddenberry and everybody else. But yeah, he was a force to be reckoned with. He will be missed in a science fiction community, I think.
Right. And as you said earlier, as far as being influential in so many ways, not just the ones that were ripped off, this is kind of a nice segue because I wanted to talk a bit about this. There is a character, I cannot remember which book it is, in the Dark Tower series by Stephen King, and the character is the TikTok Man, which he lifted, you know, from Repent Harlequin Said the TikTok Man by Harlan Ellison. And he is a villain in the multi-layered, multi-villained world of Dark Tower.
I need to read that series again.
Yeah, I do too. It's so funny that you say that because I've been thinking about it.
I mean, I remember really kind of losing interest in like the third book maybe or something like that, and then getting into, I think it was Wolves of Kala or whatever, and then he just started ramping up and ramping up, and everything got really cool. And then the ending was just like so bizarre. The whole last little section of the final book, and I was like, what?
I actually believe that the TikTok Man, I believe, is in the third book, the one you said you may have started losing interest in. It's The Wastelands, and it's got something to do with Blaine the Mono, the train, because I think they have to get on Blaine the Mono to get away from the TikTok Man or something.
Well, that would probably work.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I just think it's. I mean, there is just another example of Harlan's influence on people. King was always a big fan. He mentioned Harlan in Dance Macabre. I cannot think of the name of it now. But there was a book he mentioned at the time. Of course, that book was written. Dance Macabre was written in the mid to late 70s, so he was writing about a book that Harlan had out that was recent at the time that he said was one of the best books he had read that year, and scary too.
Yeah, there was mutual respect there, definitely, I think,
right,
for what they did.
So
now I've got to add Dark Tower, not the movie, but the book series to my list.
Well, let's touch on that a bit. Have you been hearing about how, even though that terrible Dark Tower movie that came out flopped, that apparently it has not killed the idea and that it is still being tossed about in Hollywood?
I had heard a little bit about that they were like doing some preliminary feelers for cast and saying, is it going to be a multi-series trilogy, or are we going to, you know, that Ron Howard thing he wanted to do No, it was something else, but
It was Dark Tower,
and he wanted to do it as some film, some television, maybe even some webisode kind of thing. So it's all multimedia deal. I'd heard that too.
The latest I heard was Amazon is all on it.
They're doing great. I like the fact that they saved The Expanse, made me very happy.
I
love that series, and I think it's very it's been underrated by anybody who's not really in the sci-fi world, but. Great series, extremely well done, well told, and they left it on a huge cliffhanger, and Sci-Fi canceled the show. They keep Stargate on for freaking 20 years, and they canceled The Expanse. Don't understand. But anyway, but then Amazon jumped in and said, no, we'll buy it, and we'll do another season, and we'll see after that. And they've already started the production on it, and I can't wait. It's going to be good, so... Which is on my list. That's one of my things I wanted to throw at you was, you know, if you want to see some good science fiction out there, watch The Expanse. It's really cool.
Okay. I have heard good things about it. I've heard good things about Altered Carbon. I just have not sat down and watched them. I've just not really had the time. I've got a little more time these days now that I have switched jobs. And
sweet.
But I have been, you know, dipping into the movie pool more than I have the television series pool.
What about Shape of Water? Have you seen that yet?
I haven't. I
You
know.
need to see that.
I know. Is it on something yet? Is it on Netflix or anything yet?
Yeah, I think I know it's definitely on. I mean, it's available iTunes wise, I think, but I don't know
Okay,
if Amazon Prime or Netflix has it. But it'd
yeah.
be cool.
Netflix just
Use your app.
okay. Yeah, well, Netflix just got the new Star Wars film, so I'm gonna watch it here soon too.
Oh, well, good. Yeah.
I don't know how bad it is, but I want to see it.
I will tell you, here's my metaphor for it. It would be like, let's just take Dark Tower. It would be like somebody else writing the fourth book and deciding that everything that had happened in books one through three was wrong, and we're going to change it all. So all he's no longer the gunslinger. Instead, he's something else, or he loses that ability and whatever, and kill the little kid off. Don't need him. The girl, actually, she can walk. She never thought she had legs, but she really does. And I mean, just essentially everything that you knew about Star Wars, he just said, "Nah, we're just gonna change all that." So,
Really?
oh yeah, oh yeah,
I'm a little shocked.
not one of my favorites at all.
And this is the one with Mark Hamill, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But even he's been politically correct in coming out saying, well, it's not really George's vision or version of Star Wars, but it's Disney's, so blah blah blah. And I don't mean to say anything bad about Disney. Oh my God.
Is it not, but is it, isn't it Abrams?
No, Abrams produced. This is a new guy, Steve Johnson, I think. Alan Johnson, Martin Johnson. Oh, I can't make a movie, Johnson. I don't remember his name. But he.
Oh, period. I can't make a movie, Johnson.
Yeah, he really did approach it as I'm going to throw everything out the window and create something totally new. I may be hoping to send the whole franchise in a different direction, maybe, or something, but it was not successful to those of us who were raised on Star Wars.
I thought it was just going to be a continuation of The Force Awakens.
Supposed to be, but it didn't. As a matter of fact, once you watch it, because my takeaway when I first left was, okay, this was the third part of a trilogy. This was not the middle chapter. And you know structure so well and storytelling so well. I think you'll feel the same way when you see it. There's so much finality to the movie in so many different ways, and you're going, how what where are they going to go from here? What's going to happen now?
But you're talking about in this recent movie, not The Force
Yeah,
Awakens.
Okay. in Last Jedi.
I'm really big on that now. I'm sure it's because I write, but I mean, you've got to have some cohesion. In my case, you need some symmetry, because I'm OCD. Yeah, I want some balance in the beginning and the end, or whatever. And if there's not, then it's going to be a longer work, and there's going to be balance in the very end. Does that make sense? So I'm well. Anyway, that was something I had noticed is on Netflix now. And you had mentioned The Expanse, and I do want to check that out. I just haven't had a chance, so I really can't dwell on it. But since we brought up J.J. Abrams, I can segue into yet another Abrams project. Have you heard or seen, or are you curious about Castle Rock?
Yes, very much so. The
Yeah, me
trailers
too.
that I've seen, I think, two different ones, one kind of longer than the other, and both of them look really interesting, mostly because they are so ambiguous. It's very J.J. Abrams because he likes the mystery and the suspense, and nobody knows really what it's going to be about, and da 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 about all of his movies or series or whatever. But this one looks really interesting to try to be an amalgam of King. And it reminded me, and I think I sent it to you, but I found a website just in surfing around, and it took all of Stephen King's works and linked them all together with how they are linked by this person here is actually this other, this is the same character in Dark Tower, or this is the same character in in It. that you also see over here. This is the street that was referred to here that's also in the one with the guys with the yellow jackets or whatever.
That's insane.
It was really, really well done and really cool. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I wonder if Abrams saw that and then said, let's make a series out of that, just that website, about how all of this is tied together in this whole King kind of bizarre alter reality thing.
I've seen that kind of thing with the Dark Tower. I don't know that I've seen it with the whole King universe. And do you know what that website's called? Because I'm curious.
I can look it up, but I'll have to look it up and see if I can send it to you. But it was very interesting. I thought I had sent it to you a few years ago, but I can look at it again.
Okay. I mean, because I know there's a lot of connections. I mean, there's a lot. Some of it, I mean, that's why I said it's insane, because there's so many. It's like the metaphor that came to my head is it's like, you know, painting on the head of a pin. You know, there's just so many intricacies overlapping with so many of the books. I mean, and some of them are throwaways that don't even matter, you know, like from a Bachman book or something. But it is kind of cool, though.
I'm trying to remember stuff like, you know, they talk about Derry and how, you know, well, Castle Rock itself, going back to what you were talking about, but Castle Rock, you know, is the town in so many of his stories and novels.
Mm-hmm.
Derry is similar to Castle Rock, but it's not Castle Rock. But there's even a reference in it to an ex-sheriff or whatever, and that sheriff was from Castle Rock.
Bannerman.
And, yeah. And one of his newer ones, the one with JFK or whatever.
Yeah, 9-11. I mean, not 9-11. 11-22-63.
Yeah. They're, you know, the two of the characters from it are in that. Bev's in that book, you know. And so it's weird the way they're all tied together, so to speak. I'll see if I can find that website and send it to you, because it was really cool. And not just Dark Tower. Dark Tower, especially the last book, he does a lot of that. He starts throwing out everything about, haven't you ever realized that this connected to this, connected to this? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and he also looped Father Callahan in Wolves of the Cala.
Yep.
It, you know, we always had heard, if you're you're an old school fan like I am, I'm not sure about people listening out there, but if you've been around, like, as long as when Salem's Lot originally came out, he had been talking about writing a sequel to that book for a long time, and he never did it. And I think, from a writer's standpoint, that he just started thinking, oh, I've got Callahan, and I've got a story to tell with him. I'll just work this into the Dark Tower, and he did, mm-hmm. instead of making it a sequel to Salem's Lot.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how that works.
But, yeah, I'm curious to see what they do with Castle Rock. Excited about that. I also just heard last week about his son.
Which one?
Stephen King's. Yeah, well, but one's got a vampire. I got Nosferatu.
Nosferatu. Yeah, that's Joe.
But it's like a license plate. It's like Nos 4 8
I've read it.
Or something.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like a lot of Joe's books, actually. He wrote a book called Horns, and I've not seen the movie, but the movie's got Daniel Radcliffe in it. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I'd heard that.
Okay, yeah.
No, he wrote that too. I knew he was in Horns, but he wrote that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I've read two or three of Joe's books, including his first book of short stories, which was really good. I have not. He wrote one about a fireman a couple of years ago, and I had trouble getting into it, and I never picked it back up. Stephen King's other son, Owen, is a writer, too. Joe specializes in horror, like his dad. Owen, I think, writes more mainstream. However, he did team up with his dad and put a book out last year called Sleeping Beauties, and I've not read that either. I'm more interested in Stephen King's new book, The Outsider. That's, like, next on my list, because I am hearing great things about it. I think they've already
snatched it. What's
it
called again?
It's called The Outsider, and it just came out about a month ago. And I've heard it's already been snapped up for television, I think. It's about...
Interesting.
It's pretty dark. It's about the murder of a boy. on his little league baseball field, and all fingers point to this guy you would never suspect would do it. And it's like this huge, dark mystery kind of thing. That's all I know about it. But I know from friends on Facebook and people that I've heard, you know, in public that have read it, they love it. They're like, this is one of the best things he's done in a long time.
Hmm.
So I'm curious. Cool. I love the cover of
Very
it, too.
Interesting. So, I'll have to see. Because I haven't read probably King's last, like, four novels, honestly. So yeah. I need to catch up a lot on that.
Well, I haven't read the one he wrote with his son because I heard bad things about it. I just haven't tried it. But I usually keep up with his solo stuff.
Well, I saw another one, and I don't know if it was a AMC or Netflix or Hulu or whatever, but a series based on one of his books, and I'd never even heard of the book before. But was it Mr. Mercedes?
Well, there's three of those.
Well, yeah, okay, see? That's how ignorant I am. I didn't know there were three of those.
Well, there are, but they're all different titles. And it's
the same guys in it or something?
Yeah. It's a trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those books are good.
Well, so I'm behind there. I'm going to have to trilogize there.
Well, and they've already produced Mr. Mercedes as a miniseries, but it was on some weird AT&T thing that I couldn't watch, and I still can't find it anywhere.
That's what I meant. Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because I had seen a trailer for it and went, okay, that looks kind of interesting, but I've never seen this work by King, so it'll be interesting.
Well, and Brendan Gleeson is in it.
But yeah, but you can't watch it.
Nope. So, and I want to see it. It's also got the guy that played Frankenstein on Penny Dreadful in it. He's playing the villain.
Oh, cool.
The real like skinny young Frankenstein. Not the monster himself, but the doctor. He is the villain. Brendan Gleeson is the hero. And then there's two other young people, including the black kid from the movie Moonlight. I don't know if you've seen that. And I want to see that really bad. And I hope they continue it. I hope they do all three of the books. But it's a great book. It really is. I just remember really, really liking that first book a lot. So,
okay. Well,
so I would highly recommend
it. It comes
that.
Highly recommended. I'll have to read it.
Yeah. Speaking of, I was going to talk briefly about King and Abrams and Castle Rock. The only other thing I thought about that I thought was kind of cool is that Sissy Spacek's in it. And she pretty much started the whole Stephen King movie thing.
Yep. Carrie herself. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. But before we leave Stephen King, one of my topics, and this is one that you'll be able to touch on because I know you're familiar with it, is I picked up for the first time in a couple of decades Pet Sematary the other day and decided to read it again.
Yep. And?
I think I've read it three times now, and I still have the original hardback. It was like one of the first hardbacks I ever bought as a kid Gateway Booksport, the Morristown Plaza. And it is still, I think, one of the best books he's ever written. It's so dark and so powerful and has such a huge message, and not to mention a ton of keys in it, that when I put it down, I felt like the wind had been knocked out of me.
Now, what inspired, I think you told me once, what inspired that book? Wasn't it the monkey symbol thing, or be careful what you wish for, or something like that? Wasn't that kind of the...
It's W.W. Jacobs, The Monkey's Paw.
Okay, Monkey's Paw.
It's the story. I think they made... That story's been around a long time. They made a movie at one point called Johnny Got His Gun or something. It's the one where the kid dies in the war and the parents have three wishes and they want to wish him back, and they end up wishing him back, but he's back and he's dead and he's like a zombie or whatever. Anyway, it's kind of a twist on that story.
Okay.
There's a lot of folklore in it as far as the Wendigo and that legend, you know, the spirit of the forest, or, you know, the evil in the woods, or whatever you want to call it. I think the magic of the book, though, is that it's not overwritten like a lot of his books. It's short. It moves fast. There's only a handful of characters, so you know them all pretty well, and you like them all pretty well, and you see it spinning out of control, and you want to stop it, and there is nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, you know, there was this legend that, actually, you can actually read it in the book jacket where it says, can Stephen King even scare himself? And then there was rumor for years that he had thrown it into a, you know, a locked drawer and wasn't going to publish it because he just thought it was too much.
Right.
And then to get out of a contract with Doubleday, I think he let him have it. And I'm so glad he did, because I do think it's one of the best books he's ever written.
Yeah, I agree. I think because he does, you know, King's, I think, moniker, his big deal is he can make even something very mundane and normal and ordinary seem terrifying. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he makes that road seem so repressive and so frightening. And then just the woods in the backyard and how they border on where, you know, it just makes everything scary.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And there's also the whole sense of fate or whatever. It's like,
mm-hmm.
is this all happening at random, or is it actually happening because of something? Is the
right.
pull that strong that, you know, that truck came by just at that time because of the pull from the Mi'kmaq burial ground or whatever?
Right.
And the fact that, you know, Judd had witnessed all these things as a kid with other people, the same story, you know, with Timmy Baderman and his dog and things like that, you know. So it's almost like he created a subgenre of horror that never took off, you know. It's not
a
vampire book.
Yeah,
it's not a vampire book. It is kind of a zombie book, but it's more of a folklore zombie type thing that makes you think, wow, they could have. And that's probably why some of those shitty sequels came out with the movie, is because they tried to do more with it and they just didn't, you know, it wasn't in expert hands.
Right makes sense.
And they are remaking it. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't. Why what is with this remake crap?
Well, I mean, the first one was never that great.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I can't reread that book because I'm going to see Fred Gwynn in that part. I mean, he is Judd to me. So that's what's going to happen as soon as I read it.
Yeah. And I saw Denise Crosby as I read it too. I tried not to see Dale Midkiff because he was terrible. And I didn't want to see either of the little kids either. The new one, they've cast John Lithgow in that part. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah. So I'm curious to see how that works out.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Lithgow. He's good.
Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, modern day, so they can get away with a little bit more as far as special effects. But we'll have to see. I think there needs to be more Mi'kmaq burial ground stuff. Some of that stuff was the best part of the book to me.
Yeah, the lore and the history and all that. Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good
anyway.
One.
I highly recommend it. It's a great book that came out in 1983.
So get out there and watch it. Right, read it right now.
Yeah. It'll be better than most of the stuff you're watching, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I watched another series recently because I travel so much, but I watched The Alienist. I think it was on AMC.
Okay.
I remember reading that book back in the 80s. It was by Caleb Carr. And
okay.
It was the same guy that did 7% Solution, and it was a really cool book, and I really liked it and thought it was, you know, it was good. But then they turned it into a series, and the series is just so, there's just something about it that doesn't work. I'd love for you to watch even just one episode of it and see what you think, because it just doesn't, I mean, it's very period, it's got great costuming, good scenic design. I love Dakota Fanning is in it, and I like her, or Elle, one of the Fanning girls is in it, and I like the two leads in it, but there's just something wonky about it. So I can't recommend it, but it would be interesting to see your take on it. You know, it's basically serial killer, Jack the Ripper-y kind of story.
Okay. When it came out, people in my Goodreads group were talking about how they wanted to see it. And I know who Caleb Carr is, but I've never read anything by him. And it looks to me like is it looks like season one's on Amazon. Is that what you watched it on?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. This app I have called Just Watch. You can
Yeah, I've
type
got that.
anything in, and it tells you where you can find it. Hopefully for free, but.
Yeah, or to buy or to rent or to whatever.
Well,
Yeah,
and I
I like
can't tell
that.
you how many
That's
times
great.
I've typed Mr. Mercedes in there and it will not come up. That's the only thing I've ever typed into that app that will not come up because AT&T shouldn't be in television. I guess. I don't know.
Well, Star Trek Discovery, it's on CBS All Access or whatever. And so as huge Star Trek fan as I am, I'm not going to pay another subscription just to watch one series. So,
No, not at all. I
yep.
see no
No, sir.
reason to have a subscription to CBS.
No. What else? Anything else on your list of just throwouts?
I had a couple, nothing major. We briefly touched on Martin Freeman, and I was going to mention Noah Hawley, which I had mentioned to you before. He is the creator and showrunner of Fargo and Legion.
Yeah, I still haven't caught up on Legion this.
Well, let me tell you what, I don't know if you're going to be able to because I'm still not sure what's going on that show. It has gone completely off the rails. I mean, it was so good the first season, and then the second season, they're like, oh, let's just do all these multiverses, where you're either in a dream world, you're in an alternate timeline, you're in this person's perspective, you're in that person's perspective. And it's like, all of a sudden, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I really don't. And I got to the end of it, and I
Interesting.
wasn't very satisfied. So I'm not sure. Yeah, and let me tell you, I think the guy doing it is brilliant because I've watched two of the three seasons of Fargo, and it's some of the best television I've ever seen in my life. And I thought Legion, the first series or first season, was really good,
It was
but
great. Loved it.
it's out there, David. I'm serious. I can't wait to see what you think. Because
Interesting.
one friend of
No.
mine said, we quit watching it. He said, because if I want to take acid, I'll just take acid. I know. He was like, I can't make heads nor tails of it. And I
It's
thought, oh,
interesting. That's almost
go
word for
ahead.
word. Everything you said is almost word for word if you had asked me to describe this season of Westworld.
Oh, really?
Because,
That sucks.
yeah. Because last season was so incredibly good, and you know how much I loved it. It's probably one of the best series ever on television that I've ever seen. And then this season, it just kept getting weird and strange and throwing stuff. And you're going, where are they go? I don't understand what's going on. What is happening? And they were changing character motivations and doing stuff. And by the end of it, I was just I watched the ending and I wasn't satisfied. I went, really? That you did so good last year, and then this year you just why did you do that? So yeah, okay then, definitely I'll put Legion up on my list and try to do it next week, so I can catch up on
You may get fed up with it. You really might.
it.
There are a few really good. There's one really good episode, I think, that centers around the girl, the one that has to wear gloves. She can't touch
Yeah.
people. There's one good episode that, to me, that was a standout episode. It was like the fourth episode, I think. And then it just, oh, I mean, it's got, there's elements where you're like, oh, I'm grasping some cohesiveness here. Okay, this is pretty cool. But then it's like way past Twin Peaks land where it's just like, are they just trying to be bizarre to be bizarre?
Yeah, see, I'd hate that. That would make me quit a series because I hate that whole thing of just try to be gory to be gory or just try to be weird to be weird. I don't, I'm not a big
You know
fan.
what it is? It's kind of like that movie. Was it that movie we watched called She that was so crazy where it had like all the bridge of the never ending Popeyes? Remember when we watched that back in the 80s? How crazy ass that movie was? This is kind of like that. There's like this chorus of these women that look like Sonny Bono. Have you seen any of Legion this second season?
No.
Okay, there's these like androgynous women that all have these Sonny Bono haircuts and mustaches, and instead of speaking, they sing what they say. It is so fucked up, David. I am serious. Wait till you see it.
Okay, I'll have to embrace that. Okay. Now I don't know if I should go to
I
the
had
top
to
of my
go to
list.
like EW for recaps just to see if what I saw made any sense. I'm serious. I was having to read with this to understand it.
Interesting.
That's how out there it is.
But this is the
But
same
let me
guy that did Fargo, right?
Fargo. And Fargo is brilliant. Brilliant. I would say skip season two of Legion and go directly to season one of Fargo.
Do not pass go. Do not.
Yeah, exactly. And what's great about Fargo is you've got this murder mystery, and I think it's in present day, if not maybe in the 90s. And then when he does the second season, it's a totally different cast, and it's set like 20 years earlier during the Carter administration. And then you don't realize it until like the second episode, but what you're seeing, the little girl in that series is the sheriff that was in the first season. So that's really the only connection right there, is the family of law. The father was
Interesting.
a sheriff and the daughter was a sheriff. So the first season is present, and then the second season is past, and it is. I haven't seen the third season yet. That's the one that's got the British guy that was in that played Obi-Wan in the bad sequels to Star
McEwen,
Wars.
I mean, McGregor, Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor's in the third season. I have not seen that yet,
Really?
and he plays
Okay.
twins in it. From what I understand, he plays twin brothers in it. But I highly recommend the one with Martin Freeman and Billy Bob Thornton. It's fucking awesome. And then the second one has Jean Smart and that chick from Legion in it, and it's great too.
Well, okay,
Yeah.
so we didn't plan this at all, but a good segue from that is Fargo, one of the things on my list to throw at you, which is not in any of our genre stuff. This is just something I'd recommend, is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. The one that was nominated for an Oscar, and I think she won for an Oscar, but she's the
And she was in Fargo, the
yeah,
movie.
Frances McDormand was
Right.
the sheriff in Fargo. So, and she's the lead in this movie, and it's really good. Woody Harrelson plays a very unique character, and everybody's really good in that. A good drama, a nice kind of well-told story with some good surprises. So, I'd recommend that one
I
too.
would like to see it. Dennis wanted to see it too, especially when it was starting to win all the awards. But I don't really know anything about it. It's based on a true story, isn't it?
Correct.
About a woman trying to find out something about a murder, and she's like running into roadblocks, so she sort of takes it into her own hands.
Yeah. She's trying to find justice for her daughter. And it's
Okay.
About how whether or not she's successful in doing that. And so it's really good. And who's the I really like the actor Rockwell, Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
He's in it too. Really great part for him. But all three of their performances, the three leads, he, Harrelson, and McDermott, all of them are really good. McDormand,
I'll have to check that out.
McDormand, yeah.
Frances McDormand. Yeah, I like her.
I do too.
I like some of her speeches that she did in her award acceptances.
And you know, she's really good friends with Sam Raimi.
It's got something to do with the Coen brothers. They're all tight, aren't they? Yeah, because
So.
I was never a big Coen brother fan. I mean, I
See,
respect them, but a lot of their movies do nothing for me.
I like their early stuff, but I haven't liked anything like their past three. I haven't liked where they've been going. The last one, which was like about the Hollywood writing group, it was not good. I didn't like it. Hail Caesar
Yeah.
was the name of it. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Oh, I remember when that came out, but I don't know anything about
Yeah, it was not good. George Clooney basically plays a nebbish who's thrust into this world of writing during the blacklisted Hollywood era. So it you know, didn't work for me. So I think that's all I've got on mine. I mean, we talked about, I've got one in your genre, The Ritual. That was one that I just stumbled upon that went, okay, yeah, I actually did like that.
I thought you didn't like it.
I liked, the more time has passed since I've watched it, the more I'm like, because of just the overall presence and feel to it. It's like Blair Witch done correctly kind of thing, or done better, I guess. Yeah. What I didn't like was the ending. I still don't like the ending and how it just kind of did that horror trope of, and we're done. And we didn't go anywhere with it. But the more, I'm wanting to rewatch it now, because I keep trying to think of horror movies to talk to you about, and that one keeps popping up for some reason. So
it's got so many keys in it. That's what I was trying to tell you when I watched it. It reminds me of Clive Barker, like, because I guess because it's in the UK and it's, you know, I don't know. It reminds me of something like Rawhead Rex, where they, you know, something. It wasn't buried under the ground and unleashed, but it does seem like it's some kind of monster of the woods kind of thing.
Yeah, and the old ones kind of Lovecraftian old ones deal. Yeah,
exactly. And then it goes into this bizarre, like, Wicker Man spin, and I'm like, holy fuck, they're being sacrificed or whatever. I'm like, this is great. I was just jumping up and down. I was like, this is old school horror movies. That's, yeah, you know, I just love that part of it. And you're right about the Blair Witch stuff. I mean, it is. It's like a good version of the Blair Witch, because I never was a big fan of that movie.
No, me either.
The camera jumps around too much. Not into it.
It wasn't necessarily the handheld. It's just that, again, it went for that ultra ambiguous, stupid ass jump scare ending that, you know, that I'm not a fan of. You know, make a statement. If you're going to scare people, then at the end, make a statement. You know.
Yeah. So. I have a couple of other ones since we're back to the horror realm.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about this Krasinski movie, A Quiet Place.
Yes, looks
really
good.
I can't believe, I didn't know he was like into horror movies or whatever, because, you know, he wrote this, he and his wife star in it, and it's getting like great reviews.
Yeah. Oh, it's getting really good reviews, and the trailer looked great. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to see it bad.
Yeah, that's high on my list. And there was something else that has left me now that I did not write down.
Well, one of the ones on my sci-fi to-watch list is the Annihilation, the one that's done by the same guy that did District 9.
Isn't that like a young adult thing?
No, it's it stars Natalie Portman. It's about this bizarre field effect area of Earth they end up calling the Shimmer, and people go into it and disappear and never come back. And her husband goes into it. He's a military guy. He gets sent in, and I can't remember if, you know, can't tell from the trailer whether he doesn't come back or he comes back totally crazy or something. And so she and all these people mount an expedition to go into the Shimmer. And they say it's pretty good, but I haven't seen it yet. But it's on my list.
I'm looking up the writer. It's based on a trilogy Jeff Vandermeer wrote.
Okay.
I could have sworn it was a young adult book.
Maybe I'm giving you the wrong title. I thought it was Annihilation.
No, it is Annihilation. It's got Natalie Portman in it, if that's what you're talking about.
Okay.
Maybe it's not. I thought it was, like, you know how all those young adult movies are coming out since The Hunger Games? Like,
I know.
Maze Runner and all that shit. I just thought it was another one.
Hmm. I did not know that, what it's based on. I just knew that it was a really cool, the trailer looked really good. So I'll have to.
Sorry, I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah, look at the trailer and see what you think once you watch it.
I will. And I don't mind watching. I don't care if it's young adult, if it's good. I mean, I like the first Hunger Games.
Yep. But when she had an idea of what she wanted to do. Yeah.
Right. And when they were ripping off Battle Royale.
Basically. Yep.
Speaking of keys. So, yeah, I don't know what else is new horror-wise. I had another one on the tip of my tongue before I mentioned A Quiet Place, but now I can't remember what it is. Oh, I know what it was. What do you think about this new Halloween movie with Jamie Lee Curtis.
I haven't heard anything about it other than she's in it. Is she playing Laurie again?
Yes, and what they have done, this is killing me because they've gone back so many times, and there have been several with her in them. But now they're pretending like nothing happened at the end of the first movie. That this is like what happened after the very first movie. They're ignoring every sequel that ever came out.
Okay.
So I don't know what it's going to be like. I have no idea. I mean, but apparently that whole second one where she's in the hospital didn't happen. So she is technically not his sister, and they're like totally changing the story.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of curious.
I mean, yeah, if they do it and they have a purpose and there's something to it, but to reboot it just to reboot it and do the same thing again, I don't see why.
But at least it's a multi-world thing I can understand, unlike Legion. It'll be something I can kind of follow, I have a feeling.
We're in an alternate reality, but it's okay. I can follow this alternate a little
This is
bit.
Laurie Strode on Earth 2.
Yes, there you go.
So that was the other one, though, that I was thinking about.
Cool. Yeah, I don't really have anything else on my list. I mean, there's other ones that are non-genre related that, like I watched, it's sort of genre. I watched Thor Ragnarok. I hate the Thor movies, but I actually liked this one.
I love that movie. That movie was great.
My favorite character was that big rock guy. The one, man, because look at him, he's got knives for hands. That guy, he was my favorite. I liked him. But I watched, what else did I watch? I watched Wonder, which was a nice, good family cry and feel good movie about a, handicapped boy kind of thing. It was like the mask for the 21st century kind of thing. And I watched Greatest Showman, the new musical with Hugh Jackman.
It's a Barnum and Bailey one.
Yeah, he plays P.T. Barnum, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
I went and saw The Incredibles 2.
Oh, did you? Man, I want to see that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great.
Oh,
Absolutely
can't wait.
fucking love it.
Well, the first one was brilliant. I loved the first one. It was the James Bond movie that was never made. I love it.
In all honesty, I think the sequel's just as good. I think they're both great films.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll have Incredibles 2 land then at Disney World next year. So.
Well, they've already done Pixar Pier in California, but Toy Story Land just opened at
In
Disney
Orlando.
Studios in Florida.
Yeah.
But that to me is more of a kiddie kind of thing.
Well, yeah.
They need to let The Incredibles take over Tomorrowland. Tomorrowland needs a little bit of a vamp.
That makes sense. But aren't they just doing that for Star Wars?
No, that's going to be Disney's. That's at Disney Studios. That Star Wars land is huge.
I'm
But that's a
sure.
different park. Tomorrowland's at Magic Kingdom. And
Okay.
it's been resting on the laurels of Lilo and Stitch and Monsters, Inc. for way too long. I think they need to let the Incredibles kind of jazz it up.
That'd be good. I could see that.
And it's even though it's not really Tomorrowland though, because technically they're set in the 60s,
Yeah. I
But
mean, what I kind of liked about it last time I was there was it felt like this retro future look. It felt like this was what they thought in the 60s the future would look like, sort of thing.
exactly.
So.
Yeah, it's hilarious. In the new movie, at one point they start like humming each other's songs, like their theme songs, and it sounds so much like, Spider-Man, that old cartoon from the 60s. And then I just thought that was kind of a funny joke. And then when you're watching the credits, if you watch the credits to the end, they tell the whole story all over again with just like still shots. And all of a sudden, the music changes and they have those songs in there.
Oh,
Like they
cool.
have the Mr. Incredible song, they have the Elastigirl song, they have the
Frozone or whoever.
Frozo,
Freezone.
yeah, Frozo, yeah, exactly. It's hilarious. And his sounds like Isaac Hayes. Perfect. It's great. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm really.
I highly recommend it.
I'm really, really curious to see what happens now with Pixar and Disney Animation and everything with Lasseter gone. Because, you know, I got to meet him quite a few times when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was such a force of just brilliance. And it's kind of like Steve Jobs leaving Apple, you know, kind of thing. It's very curious to see where Pixar will go without Lasseter's influence.
I mean, surely he had some people, you know, in the works, I would think.
Well, you know, he had Bird, and I think the other three guys, you know, all five of them were like the big initial directors of Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bird is still there, and I think what's
Brad Bird is all over The Incredibles. I mean, that's his movie, time.
I think he would be a better successor than the guy they just picked, and I can't remember his name, or is it a her? I can't remember, but I just saw it announced that they announced a new head of animation and a new creative director for Disney itself. And so that'll be curious to see what happens in the next, you know, what's in the pipeline now, especially after Solo bombed and they're all saying now, well, then let's just not do any more Star Wars movies. And I'm going, what? You've got an entire franchise here that you spent $3 billion for. I think you probably need some movies. If this movie didn't meet your expectation, it only made $100 million. Oh, I'm sorry.
they're going to make Star Wars movies because they're spending too much money on Disney Studios right now on that Star Wars land. That thing's huge. But the thing is they need to create new engaging characters and tell new stories. They need to just drop the old shit and move on.
Yep.
And I thought they were doing that with that first movie.
It's been 30 years of novels and comic books and story treatments and everything that they could pull from, too. They own it all now. So why not? You know, that's what Rogue One to me worked, because I think it was a great way to do a prequel that doesn't interfere with your canon. And doesn't interfere with your storytelling and doesn't have any precepts in people's mind about, oh, he doesn't really look like Han Solo. He does not acting like Harrison Ford, you know, and all of that. And because it was characters that were part of the story, but not a part that we ever focused on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like when they said, oh, we're going to do Boba Fett's story. I went, that's probably a pretty good idea because, you know, a lot of people don't know his origin story and where he came from and how he became this bounty hunter, and it might be a cool idea.
And if you want to get really original, why not do a Wookiee story with no dialogue? Do it all with just the voices of, you know, that weird speak they have, but tell the story without any script. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? Have a story but no dialogue.
That'd
it'd be awesome.
Cool idea. Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah. I mean, they've got this potential, but instead they're going off of, oh, let's do tried and true because we know it'll make money. And now they got surprised because it didn't in there, you know, as far as Solo.
And now they're rolling Harrison Ford out to do another Indiana Jones.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. Crystal Skull was so embarrassing that I don't want to think about another Indiana Jones, really.
No, and it's like they can't let go of stuff and try new stuff. It's just ridiculous. Go find a Harlan Ellison story to do.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. There's so much out there, and instead they just retread stuff, and that's what. But then again, part of the retreads help us have more keys. So
true.
Whether we like them or not.
We wouldn't exist without them.
Yeah. Unless people were taking from other inspiration from other people, we would never be have this podcast.
Yeah. I blame George Romero for everything.
Yes. It's all his fault.
He's the whole reason I'm obsessed with zombies, and I'm constantly getting suggestions from Netflix to watch terrible zombie movies.
That's it. Yeah. The algorithms have you pegged as a zombie lover. So you're going to have to now.
You like how I looped that around?
Yeah, you did great.
I got my symmetry here at the end.
You OCD bastard.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so we can sign off of this one and say until next time, you know, and thank all the listeners for putting up with us kind of rambling for an hour or so. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Be sure. I'll mention it now. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but, you know, be sure to check out our website, which will be up, and our Facebook page. So.
Yep. And always comment. Send us emails. Send us letters. What you think, good, bad, and different. We want to hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to hear what you think, and we also want to hear if you have ideas for future shows. You know, you may be thinking of something that we haven't thought of yet.
Yeah. Cool. All right, until next time, then. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.